Bucky Bacaw here for the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. As everyone keeps reminding one another, this time of year, it's cold out there. And I have to admit that nowadays, I spend a lot less time in my backyard communing with my chickens and opt instead for admiring them through my bedroom window and making sure they're doing okay. They're not as much fun to watch these days, though, since they're not constantly foraging and bickering like they do in the warm months, and instead spend a lot of time huddled together under the heating unit or picking through the compost bin, which generates its own heat naturally and acts as an edible sprout greenhouse. Unlike the summer, they return to their nest at sunset of their own accord instead of roosting in the open until I put them to bed in their coop. Still, they can't wait to get out of the coop in the morning to stretch their legs in the fresh, if cold, air and are clearly pleased that I've finally opened up most of the garden area to them. There, they like to scratch through the snow for carrot greens and stunted lettuce and dandelions. They also pace around the perimeter of the remaining fenced-in area, my kale patch, planning their break-in. It takes a lot for chickens to freeze to death, but there are dangers to chicken health in very cold weather. A common problem is frostbite, particularly on the comb or wattles. It's ugly and painful, and you don't want a frostbitten chicken on your conscience. Breeds with the characteristic long single comb and big wattles you see on chicken wallpaper, tea cozies, and other tchotchkes are the most susceptible breeds. Roosters are more vulnerable than hens, not only because their comb and wattles tend to be bigger, but also because they don't have the self-protectiveness of hens who sleep with their heads buried under their feathers. Ultimately, any chicken, male or female, and even the ones with small or bunched-up combs, can get frostbite. Also, too much exposure to very cold weather will cause a general strain on health and shortening of lifespan, and a longer recovery time to their full egg-laying selves when the weather finally does warm. During the day, when chickens like to be out, even during weather most of us can't stand, it's important to make sure your flock has access to warm water. Keeping them hydrated helps them fight the cold. And besides, it's just plain rude to leave your chickens out with all their usual drinking sources frozen solid. I go out as often as the temperature warrants and add warm water to their dishes. There are also electric water warmers available at your local feed store or over the internet if you'll be away from home for long stretches or are just too lazy to refill the bowls yourself. Fresh food is also important. In the morning, and especially right before chicken bedtime, you should make sure your birds can fill their crop. During the warm months, it's important not to let chickens overindulge in corn as it fills them up without providing a balanced diet. But during the winter, it's a good idea to raise their corn ration as it provides the kind of energy they need to generate their own heat. And of course, they need to have a warm place to sleep at night. The most common way to ensure this is by installing a heat lamp or 100-watt light bulb in the coop. Backyard chickeners debate which is better, as a heat lamp is highly directional, which means you're not heating the whole coop, only the area right in front of the lamp. The advantage of this is that the chickens, who are the best judge of the best temperature for their own optimal comfort and health, can adjust how close they want to be to the heat source. Either way, you're going to have to run an extension cord or build wiring out to your coop, a fire risk if care is not taken to make sure the heat doesn't rise too much and that the contents of the coop are not flammable. Now, the traditionalists say that the properly built coop shouldn't require an artificial heat source unless you are talking about temperatures well below 0 Fahrenheit. The trick is to have the coop properly insulated and the right size for your flock so that the chickens can heat it with their own body warmth. Another idea is to leave your chickens' poop in there, but throw new wood chips or hay over it. As you do this repeatedly, bottom layers will compost, generating heat. This is called the deep bedding method. Remember, with a well-insulated coop, it's important to have a roof vent in the coop for ventilation. For all you environmentally evolved builders out there, I'll link to a site with plans for a solar-powered coop at sagebrushvariety.org. I'll tell you how my chickens overwinter. When it gets below a certain temperature, I take the chickens in at night. I know that sounds like coddling to some people, but it's easier for me than building the perfect coop, much less wiring it for heat. Once it's bedtime, I drop a cloth over the cage so they won't be distracted by indoor activities and can go to sleep. They settle on their nests, don't move around much, and soon I forget they're even there. I used to put them all in one cage, but then I discovered if I brought them in too early, or I slept in past when they wanted to go out, there'd be bickering. So now they each have their own small cage. I probably wouldn't even bother with a cage, except I don't want them interacting too much with our indoor pets, cats and ferrets. There's also a benefit to you. If you keep chickens outside when your windows are shut, you may not hear their clucking or, in the case of roosters, crowing in the morning. Keeping them inside during the cold months will improve their services as alarm clocks, a much more pleasant way to wake up than the standard alarm, in my view. If you have comments or suggestions for other shows, please email me at sagebrush@radioboise.org. If you record the message in your own voice and send it to me in MP3 format, I just might play it on my next show. The Backyard Chicken Broadcast started in Boise. Always remember, it's legal to keep small flocks of chickens in more places than not, even larger cities like New York, San Francisco, Houston, and Portland, which is the unofficial capital of North American urban chickening. Look at your city's code online, call the city clerk or your animal shelter to find out. This has been Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.